It's summertime and it's a brand new week. Let's go!
Welcome to the Fat to Fit or Else podcast, where we talk about fitness, food, motivation, and general angry rants from the fat man himself, Stretch Roberts. So get ready for all of the above with a side of bacon. Here is your host, Stretch.
Oh, hello, my friends. Welcome to a brand new week. Let's kick it off with a episode of Fat to Fit or Else. I am the fat man trying to get fit again. I am going to get back into the gym today, which is Monday. Get a little worky out again. I have to tell you, it sucks getting old. And I know I'm old because, sure, I had the, let's say, 5-month hiatus because I didn't work out there right before I went into surgery. Had 4 months off for surgery. And I just went back in and I went light. I took it easy. It was my legs. I did 3 sets of leg exercises. Lightweight. And I was so effing sore all weekend. Like on Friday, I was going to go back to the gym, but it also ended up that my wife went out of town with my daughter. And she left the dog in the house, long story short. And I had to zip home after work and make sure everything is okay. The German Shepherd female stepped up and she's filling the hole left by Sarge. God bless her. She's trying her butt off and she's being a good girl and she's being great. And she's staying in the house. She's not messing stuff up. And she's being the alpha dog. She has become the alpha dog. It's pretty amazing to see. But she was home, so I got home and I didn't go to the gym. And then I just took her for a walk. So I went for a walk, did a lot of yard work crap. So I'm sweating my butt off. God, how hot is it? And I live at the beach. If it's this hot at my house, I don't know what you did in living away from the beach without air conditioning, because my house doesn't have air conditioning. We pop a window, usually get a good breeze, but it's toasty up in here right now. July gets warm. July, August, September are miserable here. And we're, like I said, right at the beach, and we got a nice beach breeze most of the time. Oh, boy. But here we go. I have got my working out, and I'm back today, and I'm going to take it easy again. Don't want to blow the shoulder out, but promise you I'm going to do some shoulder stuff. Shoulder feels great. It was a good sore stiff after that workout last week. Talked about it on the Friday show, and then I planned on going back into the gym Friday night, but I'm glad I didn't because the leg pain kicked in really good by Saturday. Saturday, I was aching, just aching. Getting up and down out of chairs and stuff was like, God, this sucks to be old. So I'm going to go take it easy again and continue on my path. But I am back at it, back to getting my workout on. I will set a new challenge maybe this week. If I do, I'll put it up on Instagram. I'm just happy to be. I'm still ecstatic to be back. It is so awesome to be back in the gym and getting back at it. I have a ton of stories to get into today. Let me see what happened weekend-wise that I can recap. I did a lot of home improvement stuff, like built a frame for a screen door. We had a screen door that was just being a pain in the ass. And I don't have a truck anymore, so I can't just go buy a new one. I have to get it delivered. And being cheap, I built a frame and then pain in the butt. Because once I built the frame to save money being cheap, then I had to paint the frame and do all this. It ended up being a good chunk of my day on Saturday and on Sunday on this one simple, should have been a simple project. But anyway, I have a new hobby that's really pissing my wife off, which makes it way more fun to have. Do you ever do stuff like that, maybe to just antagonize your spouse? Because I don't know if I've said it here before, I'm sure, but I always say I want a crow. I want a pet crow. And that's illegal. You can't have a pet crow. But I'm like, I want to be friends with a crow. I think they're super smart and they're cool-ass birds. Well, I decided there's a ton of crows in my neighborhood. And my neighbor has the big, giant eucalyptus trees, like big, 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 big ones. And there's a crow family that lives in one of those trees. And I hear them all the time and I see them all the time. So I'm like, all right, it's time for me to befriend the crows. So I told my wife I'm going to do it. And she said, you sound like a lunatic. Like, you need real friends. And I'm like, I have real friends, but I want to be friends with a bird. And she's like, no, I don't want birds around here. I'm like, they're around here. What do you think? I'm going to go catch one and bring it here? They're here. So she was so anti me being friends with crows that I became friends with crows this weekend. And now it's hysterical. Like, we're good friends already. Really good friends. My crows are already, so they typically would just sit up on the telephone poles and caw and whatever they're doing to each other, their form of communication. And it seems like they watch you. And my dogs are in and out all the time and they see what's going on. And every now and then I'll see them come down to my front yard and, you know, there's something down there they can grab to eat, piece of dog food or whatever, and then they take off. But I'm like, all right, time for me to be friends with the crows. So I went out this morning and I gave them food and they was gone. And I left and went to church. I went to church at 8 o'clock, went to the 8 o'clock mass. I'll get into that as well. I go to 8 o'clock mass. I come back and I put a lot of food out and it was all gone. And I was like, oh man, a squirrel must have got that. And then a little while later, I hear the crows and they're back. And so they came and ate it all. And so I'm like, all right, cool. I'll put more out. So I put some more out and I put it a little closer to my door. A little closer to my door. And then they kept coming and getting it. And then they would caw out on the pole outside my house. And I would come out. They would see me. And like, hey, we're here. And I'd put food out. And then they would come down. It didn't take long. They're very, very intelligent animals. Till they were coming. I would walk out. And I'd just give them a little bit. And I would drop it in my front yard. So they didn't have to get too close. And by the end of the day, now they'll come out. They'll call. I'll walk out. I'll put one thing, one little thing on my fence post right by my front door. And sure enough, I walk in and they come out and grab it. So they're getting comfortable and coming close to me. And this is one day's worth of work. I just started it today, which is Sunday. And my wife is like, you're insane. People think you're an idiot. And I talk to them when I go out there because I talk to all animals, have conversations with them. Sarge, I miss Sarge, man. I had great conversations with Sarge. I would talk to Sarge like he was a human all the time. But now I am talking to the crows on the telephone pole. The neighbors probably think I'm insane like my wife does. One other thing before I tell you my fun little story from church today. I did a recipe. Unhealthy as hell. If you're on a diet and you're trying to not be fat like me, don't do this. But if you want to have something absolutely delicious, try this. It's one of those ones I saw on Instagram. And I'm like, yeah, there's no way that's real. Let's try it. So I took the little can of sweetened condensed milk. I dropped the can unopened, nothing. Just, you don't even have to take the label off if you don't want to. I did because you submerge it in water. So you take your crock pot, you fill your crock pot up with water, warm water, and then you drop that can of condensed milk in there. No holes in it, no nothing. And you put it on low for 8 hours. 8 hours. At the end of 8 hours, you turn it off. You open it. It doesn't have pressure in it or anything. It doesn't blow everywhere. I got to admit, I was a little worried about that. And it is the most delicious caramel ever. I don't know how it works. I don't know what happens. Condensed milk is something you usually put in recipes or whatever. 8 hours in the crock pot, on low, submerged in water, turns into hot, delicious caramel. And I popped it open and was dipping it with apples, and it was a wonderful dessert. Not healthy. It's sweetened condensed milk. It's, but God, is it good. It's so good. I highly recommend that as a no-frills little thing. It would be really good on ice cream, even drizzled over a cake or something. God, it's so delicious. Anything would be good dipped in it. It's like the ultimate fondue is what it is. All right. Now I'll tell you my story of church, and then I'll get into the fat to fit stories that I have. Let me drink my Gatorade. It's so hot I'm sweating and I'm having to drink Gatorade. All right, so I feel horrible, but I've mentioned this before. At my church, I have a old Irish priest that I love that's been there since before we ever started going there 20-something years ago. And then over the course of time, they changed. There's usually two at a church, two priests. And we got an Indian guy, from India, Indian guy. and he's got a really, really thick accent. And whenever he's there, I always like, I don't understand a word he says. Now, could be I'm hard of hearing from wearing headphones for 30-something years, really loud on my head, and I'm old as hell. But our church also is made of brick. The entire church is brick. The acoustics suck ass in that church. It echoes. Everything they say echoes. So you take me, hard of hearing. You take a dude with really gnarly thick accent that I can't understand in a regular conversation. And then you add that echo to it and I'm done. I don't get a word. So today I went to church and I'm like, oh, I hope it's my Irish guy. I hope it's my Irish guy. I hope it's my Irish guy. And then when I go up, I see the Indian priest standing outside with his regular clothes on, which means he's not doing the service. I'm like, oh, cool. I'm not kidding. They start playing the music. The cross comes in. The book comes in. And a new Indian guy comes in. And I'm like, what? What? We have two? We have two of these Indian guys? And guess what? Didn't understand a word he said. Yeah. So God is trying my patience. See if I will continue to go to church. I vow to go to church every week. And it's really hard to do when it may as well be like I've gone with my wife and her family to Spanish mass before, where they do the whole thing in Espanol. I do not speak the Espanol, but I do. I've been to it and I can follow along. Don't get the homily or anything like that. But, you know, I'm there. I get communion. I'm out. Well, that's kind of the same thing that I'm going through at my local church. Just it may as well be in another language because I don't understand a word that's being said. And now I have two of these dudes. Two. I'm going to go, like, am I the a-hole that's going to have to call them and be like, hey, you know, most of your congregation are old, white, English-speaking people. I'm going to say 90% of your congregation are old, white, English-speaking people. You guys get some guys that speak better English, or people are going to stop coming here. It's going to happen. Because I did for a while. I bailed and started going to other churches, driving and going to other masses. I don't want to do that. This is my church. I don't want to bail on it, but I don't know what I'm going to do. I'm literally at my wit's end. All right, enough of me going to hell. Let's get into the stories that I have for you today. And shocker, I found a new tampon story. But if it's something that has to do with health or fitness, I'll give it to you. But let's start before I get to my tampon story. I also have a good story coming up about intermittent fasting. But let's start with this one. You know how we hear shrinkflation? Shrinkflation everywhere. Where prices are... that when they don't go up on a product, the product actually shrinks and then the price stays the same. They say traditionally a small box of Kleenex had 65 tissues in it. Now it only has 60. The price never changed, but there's a little bit less in there. Chobani Flip yogurts used to be 5.3 ounces. Now they're 4.5 ounces, but the price never changed. It's the same price. So that's shrinkflation. And that's those are two examples, but it's everywhere. Well, now there's a new one called upflation. It's not new because it's going around like crazy. And what's happened, people are so broke now that they're spending less money on things that are like necessities, like deodorant and razors, things like that. So what's happened, the companies, knowing that their market share is shrinking because people... or either buying the low-budget dollar store. Like, if I can go to the dollar store and get something, that's where I get it. Even though there is no more dollar store, I got to go to the dollar warehouse or whatever it is, but the 99-cent store is gone. And what's happening is they'll sell you, like, Gillette. They have the Venus razor. It's used for, quote, pubic hair and skin, which is designed to help protect women's bikini lines from irritation. And they're $15, whereas their regular Gillette women's razor is $10. So you're paying $5 for this, quote, special Whositz razor. Well, Procter & Gamble, which sells Secret, Old Spice, and Dove products, Dove, thank you for being the first product to introduce us to fat, ugly people as your spokesperson. I said it. I'm fat and ugly. I can say it. And then making us think, oh, no, that's okay. That's how it is now. We can't have pretty people on products anymore. We need big, fat people because most of America's big, fat people, and they want to see people to look like them. No, I don't. I don't want to look in the mirror, let alone look at big fat people trying to sell me Dove soap. Well, they're now charging $14 for, quote, total body deodorant. It's twice the price of a regular stick of underarm deodorant. So if you're using Old Spice or whatever, and now they have an Old Spice total body, well, guess what? Who hasn't been, if it's a roll-on, I'm not rolling it on my junk, but if it's a spray, you can do whatever. But they're really jacking up the prices on these specialty products. It's kind of effed up. And they say people who are fed up with surging prices for basics have cut back on spending items on razors, shampoo, laundry detergent, deodorants. Ooh, laundry detergent's another one I was getting at the 99-cent store. I'm like, I'll get it. I'm down. So know that. If you're buying a specialty product, you are paying upflation like a mofo, probably double what the regular product is. So if it's shampoo for blah, 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 it's going to be more. If it's just regular shampoo, it'll be still a higher price because of inflation. But say manscaping is one that dudes care about. And it's been marketing special grooming equipment for men, including groin trimmers. And they say it's gone. Those are astronomically priced as well right now. Say everyone needs some personal hygiene product that you can't share. It's not like you could share toothbrushes in your house. Guess where I get my toothbrushes? You guessed it. The dollar store. I just bought a two-pack the other day. And people are really getting hosed when they go to the specialty products. So know that. They conducted a survey which found that 15% of Americans sought a whole body product for odor, while research by the Dove Men Plus Care line concluded that 76% of men would try a whole body deodorant, while only 2% were current users. So, hey, we're going to get these guys. Maybe they're not going to be long-term customers, but we'll get them to pay double for it once, and we'll make a lot of money because it doesn't cost us any more money to make the whole body compared to the just underarm deodorant. See what I mean? It's a scam. So be ready for that. All right, let's get into my tampon story. You know what it is? I did the show last week where I had like two or three tampon stories in a row, and now they bombard me with they're like, oh, this guy likes tampon stories. That's every time one pops up now, it comes into my feed. My God, am I thirsty. If you are of the persuasion that uses tampons, this is horrifying. And they say they're just finding this out because it's the first time someone's done a study like this. A study of 30 tampons from 14 brands finds they contain toxic metals like lead and arsenic. There's something nice to shove up your hoosits. Yeah, they say despite the large potential for public health concern, very little research has ever been done to measure chemicals in tampons. Yeah, great, isn't it? They say, in fact, to our knowledge, this is the first paper to measure metals in tampons. Concerningly, we found concentrations of all metals we tested for, including toxic metals like arsenic and lead. Why would you put arsenic and lead in tampons, you might be asking yourself, because that's what I want to know. But it's not just arsenic and lead. They also found barium, calcium, cadmium, cobalt, chromium, copper, iron, manganese, mercury, nickel, lead, selenium, strontium, vanadium, and zinc. All up in the hoosits. They found metals in all types of tampons, though concentrations varied by where the tampons were purchased in the U.S. or over in the U.K. or in Europe, organic versus non-organic, and generic versus name brand. Lead concentrations were higher in non-organic tampons, while arsenic was greater in organic tampons. That's good. I want to get that real healthy organic tampon loaded with arsenic. Yeah, this is crazy. They need to, this makes me think they need to do a lot more studying and fast. The findings published in the Environmental International Journal this week, 34 million American women use tampons often for hours at a time for several days. And they're saying we need to do a lot more research after we found all of this to see if there's any negative health effects from, you know, having arsenic and lead in your hoosits. Lead, they say, is of particular concern. Any lead that leaches out of a tampon can lead to numerous adverse neurological, renal, cardiovascular, hematological, immunological, reproductive, and developmental effects. All of that from lead. Lead is stored in the bones, replacing calcium, and can be retained in the body for decades. This is an alarming story. Tampons are a particularly worrisome source of chemical exposure because the skin of the vagina has a higher potential for absorption than skin elsewhere on the body. Vaginally absorbed chemicals do not undergo first-pass metabolism and detoxification via the liver, and they go directly into the systemic circulation. They say they can also be contaminated by water during the manufacturing process, and sometimes they can get it from raw materials of cotton, rayon, and other things that are used in the actual tampon itself. There you go. That's alarming. Alarming. I would say don't cut corners at the dollar store when it comes to your tampons. Do not. Do not. Do not. But it's crazy to think that the organic ones are packed with arsenic. That's a great one. All right, now we have a story that I'm going to call BS on because it's what I do. My name is Stretch. I'm a walking, talking BS detector. It is a study on women masturbating. And I love that all these women say with a straight face, oh, yeah, I only do it to relieve stress. Yeah, I don't have like a rabid sexual fantasies. I'm not like a man. No. I just have stress. I need stress relief. On average, each woman pleasured themselves 9 times in a 30-day period, about twice a week, and it was always for stress relief. According to women in the study, masturbation serves as a strategy to induce positive emotions and promote relaxation when experiencing stress. Unlike a man who says, well, I masturbate because it's Tuesday or Wednesday or Thursday or Friday or Saturday or twice on Sunday. So the women only do it for stress relief. We say these findings are consistent with previous research that has highlighted the role of masturbation as a coping strategy for psychological stress and as a means of relaxation. 64% of the women surveyed said they masturbated for stress relief, while just 55% said that masturbating evoked feelings of joy. Now, wait a minute. Masturbation should be very joyful, should have a very happy ending at all times. If 55%, that's more than half of women, don't get joy out of masturbation, how the hell are we supposed to please you? You can't even please yourself. You can't even get joy out of yourself. You should never look at a guy with disdain and be like, this guy can't even get me off. Apparently, you can't do it yourselves. 55% of you. Lady they talked to in this study, who was not evoking feelings of joy, says, it's just a valve. It's a stress release valve for me. I noticed that I masturbate more often during exam periods. Shut up! But I don't get any joy out of it. Shut up! That's what I say. Shut up. Never complain again about men not satisfying you. You can't satisfy yourselves. Masturbation is very, very joyful when you're a man, I promise you. All right, now I'm out of Gatorade. Here we go. Another weird story. They throw race into it, so I will make fun of it. The study released July 1st, 2024. They say parks and lakes aren't just good for your soul. New research suggests they also appear to protect your arteries. If you live near green space and blue water space, chances are you have a lower risk of hardened arteries in middle-aged. Urban dwellers that live near green space and that have a better heart health at middle aged. For every 10% increase in access to green space, the odds of having coronary artery calcification decline by 15% on average, according to findings published in the Journal of Circulation. They say our findings provide quantitative evidence supporting environmental policies to enhance the accessibility and quality of residential blue and green spaces, says Dr. Hu, a professor of preventative medicine at Northwestern University. Artery calcification occurs when calcium forms plaque on the walls of the arteries. These plaques can combine with blood clots to clog the arteries, causing heart attacks and strokes. I'm waiting on one of those. Everybody in my family's got those. They keep going, when are you having one? Fatty. Fatty McFatFat. My doctor keeps even saying that to me. I'm like, hey, doctor, you're supposed to be on my side. Dumbass. For the study, researchers tracked nearly 3,000 men and women from four cities for 25 years from 1985 to 2010. The participants hailed from Birmingham, Alabama, Chicago, Minneapolis, and Oakland. The research team compared CT scans taken at age 50 of calcium deposits in people's arteries with their access to parks, water bodies, and other natural spaces. That access was measured using the people's long-term residential address. And this is where they start throwing the race card in. Black people living in poor neighborhoods especially benefited from exposure to green space and open water. Black participants with the highest accessibility to a river had a 32% lower odds of coronary artery calcification compared to those with the lowest accessibility. They also had a 90% better chance of drowning. Ah, that's not in there. That's a joke. That was a racial joke. You can't do that in 2024, Stretch. I just did a story on this show a few weeks or months ago about black people can't swim, and it's because of racism, they can't afford swim lessons. And I screamed like a mofo because I've never had a swim lesson in my life. They're like, white people can swim because they're rich and they're privileged. I never had a swim lesson in my life until my dad threw me in the water and said, you better swim, you little MF-er. Yes, right, better kick. I'd make me jump in there. I'll whoop your ass, boy. I'll take my belt off right now. That's what happens. That's how you learn to swim when you're a redneck. They just throw you in the water. We weren't rich. I didn't have swim lessons. It's a cop-out. Having more green and blue spaces may provide increased opportunities for physical activities, social interactions, stress relief, much like masturbation. Maybe you should masturbate in the woods. Oh my God, I just solved everyone's health problems. It's all been linked to improved metabolic and cardiovascular health. Additionally, exposure to green and blue spaces has been shown to boost people's immune systems, reduce chronic inflammation, and slow down the biological aging process, all of which are biologically important in people's overall health. There you go. Interesting, right? All right, well, I got another story for you. I'm not done. I got more stories. I got stories for days. This one's about intermittent fasting. And you always hear, like I told you guys, I heard so much crap about the miracles of the carnivore diet. And I did it, and I lost a lot of weight really quickly and never felt good ever. And I'm quite the carnivore, period, most of the time. I eat meat with every meal. But intermittent fasting has really caught on, and a lot of people are super into it. But apparently, according to this article at least, there was a lot of myths that came out about it. It said, oh, yeah, well, this about intermittent fasting, da-da-da-da-da. The person that wrote this article has studied it for 20 years, and they constantly get asked if the diet is safe. They say there's a lot of misinformation out there about intermittent fasting. And they basically debunk those in this article. And here's what they say. Intermittent fasting does not lead to a poor diet. Because intermittent fasting, they just don't eat certain hours of the day. Like I can eat whatever I want between these hours and these hours. They don't count calories. And it's not really like being on a diet. All right. The researchers point to studies showing that the intake of sugar, saturated fat, cholesterol, fiber, sodium, and caffeine do not change during fasting compared with before a fast. And the percentage of energy consumed in carbohydrates, protein, and fat doesn't change either. So they say your diet doesn't get worse, and you're fine. Next myth they busted, they said intermittent fasting does not cause eating disorders. Apparently, that's another thing. They're like, well, you can't eat, that makes you weird, and next thing you know, you're a manorexic. None of the studies show that fasting caused participants to develop an eating disorder. However, all of the studies screened out participants who had a history of eating disorders, and the researchers say that those with a history of eating disorders should not try intermittent fasting. They also urge pediatricians to be cautious when monitoring obese adolescents if they start fasting, because this group has a very high risk of developing an eating disorder. But in and of itself, according to this story, intermittent fasting does not create eating disorders. Next myth they busted. Intermittent fasting does not cause excessive loss of lean muscle mass. No, that's Ozempic. The studies show that people lose the same amount of lean muscle mass whether they're losing weight by fasting or with a different diet. In both cases, resistance training and increased protein intake can counteract the loss of lean muscle. Who has told you that? That would be me, the fat man, who rants about that on the regular. Boost your protein if you're on a diet, and definitely put 3 days of resistance training in there. Intermittent fasting does not affect your sex hormones. They say many myths out there, despite concerns about fertility and your sex drive, neither estrogen nor testosterone or any other related hormones are at all affected by fasting. So there are four myths busted about intermittent fasting. So if you're doing it and it's working for you, good for you. Keep it up. Do what works for you. Do what works for you. If you need to go get on a semi-glutide and that's what works for you, do it. If you can't work out without getting a personal trainer and you can't stick to it, then do it if you can. If not, get tapes, whatever you need to do. Do what you can do that works for you. Don't get an eating disorder and don't F up your metabolism by starving yourself to death. That's the only thing I say. If you're on a semi-glutide or something like that, protein, resistance training, protein, resistance training, protein, protein, protein. And I have busted the myth right here myself personally about the carnivore diet. It is not a cure-all for anything other than you're not eating carbs and you're going to lose weight. The rest of it, a bunch of shit, because I'm still on my diabetes medicine and I'm still on all my other stuff. So that is a load of crap right there. All right, let me get back to, oh man, I'm already out of time. It's time to go. It's already time for me to pack it up and pack it in. The Monday show, I'll get to a challenge. If I do, I'll put it up on Instagram. Very excited to be back. I'm thankful for everybody for listening. Watch your organic tampons. Watch your diet. Watch your fasting. Check in with your doctor. Continue to be active. Be careful, though, when it's hot outside. Like, chug some Gatorade, some water, whatever you got to do. Be safe. I will talk to you guys again on Friday with the bonus pod for this week. Until then, see you later.